The following is a recording of the Kevin Neuendorf teleconference with the U.S. Olympic Committee scheduled for Friday, December 18, 2009 at 8 a.m. Mountain Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to David Fisher. Mr. Fisher, please begin.
Lindsay, thanks very much, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on a very exciting day. It's been actually a very exciting week at USA Hockey. I think, as you know, on Tuesday we announced the roster for our Paralympic sled hockey team that will participate in the Paralympic Winter Games in Vancouver. And, of course, yesterday afternoon at the Mall of America in Bloomington, we announced the U.S. Women's Olympic ice hockey team, the 21 members that will represent Team USA at the fourth Olympic Winter Games for women's ice hockey. Hard to believe, just 56 days from the opening ceremonies, plus, and Team USA, of course, chosen yesterday and will continue training, and you'll hear more about activities and things coming up during the course of the conference call today. We have four speakers with us on the line today, and you'll hear some brief comments from them, and then we will be happy to take your questions once we're finished with that. My first pleasure is to introduce Michelle Amidon. Of course, you know her as the Director of Women's Hockey for USA Hockey, and she is also, of course, the General Manager of the 2010 U.S. Women's Olympic Ice Hockey Team, a former national team player herself, and I'd like to turn it over to Michelle.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, after yesterday's events, I think the girls are pretty excited right now with 56 days left until the Olympics, and hopefully a little bit later today they're going to be able to head home and re-energize, refuel, get to spend some time with their families and friends over the holidays, and then come back on December 26th to get right back at it. We've got some big games coming down the road against Canada at the Excel Center on December 30th, as well as in Ottawa on the 1st. And it feeds into a road trip. From there, we go to Connecticut to play the ECHC All-Stars and off to Madison, Wisconsin to play the University of Wisconsin. And till we leave on February 7th, we've got 11 more games scheduled, and we might add a few leading into Vancouver. Before we head to Vancouver, we're going to make a quick stop in Colorado Springs, stay at the Olympic Training Center, train there for about 10 days and really centralize and get the team together and ready to go and play a couple games against Finland there as well. Our coaches, Mark Johnson, Jody McKenna, and Dave Flint, have been doing a great job in Blaine preparing the team and the girls on this road to Vancouver. Right now, you know, the focus is day in and day out. It's about the process and the goal that we've set for the end of the road here in Vancouver. We're extremely excited about the final 2010 Olympic roster that we picked yesterday and what lies ahead in Vancouver.
All right, Michelle, thanks very much. Next up is the head coach of Team USA, Mark Johnson. Of course, the Hockey News just today came out on newsstands with their list of 100 most powerful and influential people in the sport. Mark Johnson, number 86 on that list. And, of course, you all know that he had a spectacular career in the National Hockey League. Has won the national championship three times as a head coach at the University of Wisconsin to boot, and of course played in the Olympic Winter Games himself. Coach Johnson?
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everybody, for being on this morning. Obviously, our camp is quite excited with the announcement yesterday of our 2010 Olympic team, and it's been a long process, and certainly Michelle has been involved with it the last 4 years as far as trying to put together the kids that we're going to get this opportunity not only to try out for our team but eventually make the team. And obviously when we had to go from 23 down to 21, you have to make some tough decisions, you have to make some tough choices, but I think at the end of the day, and as I look at the roster, there's a lot of excitement among the coaching staff, the support staff, and I think yesterday you saw it within the players that now they can move forward. We can call ourselves the Olympic team instead of the national team, and I think just that little bit of difference creates the excitement that is really going to help us in the next month as we prepare to sort of in the last phase of getting ourselves organized, putting this thing together, fine-tuning it, and getting the team ready to make the trek up to Vancouver. I like the makeup of the team. I said it earlier in the year when we went from our training camp into our 23 players that we carried for about 4 months. I like the makeup of our veterans, players that have been in multiple Olympics, and you'll hear from Angela in a minute. You see the smile on her face. This is the fourth one, which is amazing. There's not many athletes that get an opportunity to play in one, let alone four Olympics, but you'll hear from her shortly. And young player, and a lot of young players on the team, I think that is going to help us in the long run. Certainly, when you have young players, you have that youthful energy, you have that excitement. There's a little bit of naive because they haven't been down this path before. But I think with a mix of our veteran players, and I think even with the younger players that have had the opportunity to play in past world championships, they've had success in those, and I think that's going to help them as they get themselves individually. But I relate what we have to do. Obviously, the expectations are high. We're not in this to finish second, and so I think having the expectations high, having the bar set high is good because I think from an athlete standpoint, you can focus in, you can prepare yourself to take a run at this championship and an opportunity at a gold medal, and I like it that way. Obviously, when I was an Olympian back in 1980, it was a little different. Nobody thought or felt that we had a chance at winning the gold medal. We sort of snuck in, got some momentum, and created something that we still talk about today. But I think having it with the expectations high and knowing if you put this thing together and you go up there and are playing your best hockey and at the end of that you can win a gold medal, I think that creates some excitement. So I relate this last phase to climbing a mountain. You can see the top of it, but it's the most challenging phase that we're going to have to go through because it's going to be the most demanding. We have 11 games right now set up against some quality opponents, and I think from a player standpoint, as you can see the top of the mountain, as you can see the finish line, I think it gives them the opportunity to really focus in, really pay attention to details and get themselves ready. And collectively, as we do that individually, I think the unit really can start to come together and move forward. So it's an exciting time. We're going to practice here a little bit this morning, and then it's the holiday season. Everybody gets an opportunity to go home and spend time with their family, realize they are now going to be on the Olympic team, and I think when they come back on the 26th, we start practice again, we're going to have a little extra bounce in our steps. So thanks, everybody, and I'll pass it on.
All right, Mark, thanks very much. And before we turn it over to Angela, I'd like to mention one other note in regard to, of course, we announced our Paralympic and women's team. We'll announce our men's Olympic team on January 1st at Fenway Park as part of NBC's coverage of the Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. And I think we've had that note out there, but just a reminder on that as well. Mark mentioned Angela Ruggiero playing in her fourth Olympics, which certainly is remarkable. I think, as you know, she began her career as the youngest player on the gold medal winning Team USA in the 1998 Olympic Winter Games more than a decade ago, and she is back again, and we're pleased to have her with us today. Angela?
Thanks, Dave. I'm obviously so excited at having the opportunity to play in another Olympics. It never gets old, that's for sure. Just being able to represent your country and play hockey for a living. I think every one of us in the locker room, really enjoy what we're doing right now, and we're so excited at this point because we know this is the final Olympic roster, and like Coach said, we can kind of see into the distance, and we can see Vancouver. It's so close to us right now, and this team is obviously a really special and unique team, and I have been playing on this team for quite a while, and I think it's rare when you have the kind of chemistry that we have, and at this point, I think we're just so excited to work hard over the next 56 days and in through Vancouver because, just such a special makeup of players. So we're obviously, you know, I look around the locker room and you know, yesterday was the first day back, and just seeing the faces of everyone on our team, you know, as a veteran player, that's a really special thing, I think, to look around and see so many young players have the opportunity to get to put on this jersey in the Olympics now. So it's, you know, exciting for me. I'm you know, my fourth time around. I was blessed, you know, in 98 when we won the gold medal, and I was the youngest player there, but really excited to get back to the games and have another shot at getting back to the top of the podium. That's definitely a personal goal of mine and a personal goal, I think, of every single member of this team and staff. So we couldn't be happier right now, and we, like Coach said, we know there's a lot of work ahead of us, so we're just going to take a few days off here for Christmas and then get back to it.
All right, Angela, thanks very much. If those of you on the call haven't been following along, of course, Angela's hosting the Quest Tour All Access podcast along with Erica Lawler, and there's some terrific pieces on there, and I encourage you to visit the Quest Tour site, QuestTour.com, or you can get to it through USAHockey.com as well. Jocelyn Labro is with us as well, and she's on the flip side, one of the youngest players on Team USA, and not to say that you're old, but that's the stat she shares with her twin sister, Monique, who's also on the team. And, of course, the pair will become the first set of twins ever to play on a U.S. Olympic hockey team. And we're pleased to have Jocelyn with us today. Jocelyn, please go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. Obviously, this is an exciting time for me and my sister. And, you know, I remember watching Ange and Jenny Potter in the Olympics. I was in second grade in 98. And, you know, this is obviously very few athletes get this opportunity to compete in the Olympics. And, you know, in 98, you know, that's when the dream set in that this was a reality. And I remember watching and, you know, thinking, you know, that could be me someday. And it's obviously very exciting. And the experience this year of playing, you know, you're playing day in and day out with some of the best players in the world, and being able to compete with those players every day is something that can only make you better. You know, I was always told that you can't get better if you're not playing with people that are going to push you, and so it's obviously been a great experience this year, and playing with my sister, obviously, our dream is always, it's never been I really want to make this team, it's always been we or our dream. And I think that's what makes this experience a little bit more unique for my sister and I. And it's really difficult to explain and put into words sometimes, but it's definitely been our dream. And we made it together, and we pushed each other year in and year out, working out with each other and playing with each other on every team. And we can't wait to get to Vancouver, but right now the important part is competing and practice every day and, you know, pushing each other to be better and making the team better and making a difference on the team.
All right, Jocelyn, thanks. And I think that puts it pretty clear perspective. You were in second grade watching Angela. I kind of chuckled at that one. And maybe you are getting up there a little bit, huh?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Well, we're excited. We have a Dynamite Communications staff, too, that will be with our Olympic teams in Vancouver. I think you all know Christy Jeffries is our staff as a lead person on the women's side. I will be the lead person on the men's side. And then we also have Jerry Helper from the Nashville Predators assisting us. And really it takes all three of us to handle both teams. Alex Clark from our staff here in the national office will be the main contact for our Paralympic team and the Paralympic Games for any of you that are covering that event as well. At this time, I'd like to turn it back to Lindsay, and Lindsay will take us through the question and answer portion of today's event.
Thank you very much. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they're received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Dan Hickling with U.S. College Hockey Online.
Greetings to you all. Question both for Mark and for Jocelyn. Mark, 11 of these women played college hockey last year, and course, they all have at one point in their careers, but especially to the 11 last year. What does it say about the job that the college coaches have done, and yourself included in that number, in preparing these women to step from right from college to Olympic play?
Well, I think, you know, since I've been in the college game on the women's side the last 8 years, and I'm sure you've watched quite a bit yourself, you know, the level of play throughout, whether you're on the East Coast or in the Midwest watching college hockey, the level of play has gone up huge, especially in probably the last 3 or 4 years. There's a lot more players playing at a high level, and certainly that bodes well. You know, for college hockey, the people that get an opportunity to watch it. I think the coaches all over the country, whether it's in the Division I programs or Division III programs, are well equipped to help train these athletes. And I think the expectations as we recruit some of these athletes, you know, puts a little bit of pressure on us as coaches, because these young ladies have set up goals and their aspirations, whether they're going to play for the Canadian national team, and we see an influence of Swedish players and Finnish players and Swiss players into the college ranks. But for our American players, a lot of them want to wear that USA jersey one day, whether it's now with our last couple of years with our under-18 program, and certainly with our under-22s and our national program. You know, their dreams are to put that jersey on. And so I think the college game and the coaches that are coaching in the college game are doing a great job. They've elevated, you know, the players that they're bringing in. They've worked with them for whether it's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years, and the end result is we're producing a lot better hockey players, and it bodes well for the different national programs, and certainly has helped our program at USA Hockey in regards to making our talent pool and our base a lot bigger than it was 4 or 5 years ago. And that was evident this year as we started to put together the roster for our training camp and eventually get to our Olympic team this past week. And so the college coaches throughout North America are doing a wonderful job helping these kids put those jerseys on one day.
Yeah, great, thanks. And kind of a companion question for Jocelyn is, do you think you would have been, without that year of college behind you, do you think you've been able to have raised your game to the level of Olympic play?
I would like to believe that I would have been ready, but there's no question about it that playing college last year definitely made me a better player. You know, going from high school to college is a big step, but having that stepping stone, having the years fall the way they did, definitely helped out. Playing with, like I said before, playing with better players only makes you better. And, you know, having to compete, you know, in the WCHA, you know, every weekend, night in, night out, can only make you better. And I think that having my college year last year was definitely a, you know, a beneficial factor for me.
By the way, Jocelyn, I work out of the Portland market where your brother is kind of is doing very well this year with the Portland Pirates. What are your thoughts about his pro career?
I think he's had to prove himself wherever he's gone with the size of the goalies, you know, not being any shorter than 6 feet, and he's only, you know, knocking at 5'10". you know, he has to prove himself, and I think he just, if he gets his opportunity, I think he can, you know, make a name for himself, and, you know, always wish him the best.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Ben, just jump into, this is Dave Fisher again, just Art Berglund, who is retired now, but is still a consultant for us, and, of course, led our international programs for so many years here at USA Hockey. I was struck this week when he came in, and he had been up at our game against Canada in Denver last week, and although we didn't win, he was just it was fun to hear him say how amazed he was at the level of play. It's unbelievable how good these women are today, and I think that's a direct compliment certainly to Mark and the college coaches and all the development people across the country that have helped to elevate the game to where it is today. Lindsay?
Yes, our next question comes from Bob Duff with Windsor Star.
Hey, this is for Angela. I just wanted to, you've been in a lot of these Canada-U.S. battles over the years, and it seems like everything's pointing to it going to be Canada and U.S. for the gold again. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about kind of the history of the rivalry, and lately Canada's been getting the better of you guys, and how much of a concern is that going into as you head toward Vancouver?
I mean, I always say Canada's my favorite game. It's an intense rivalry. It's something that I think since the beginning of the national team programs in 1990, every single time the U.S. and Canada face off against each other, you're going to see a great hockey game. And that rivalry's only, caused our game to develop that much further. Because I certainly know every time, you're in the weight room or you're on the ice and there's an extra sprint, you're thinking of Canada in the back of your head, and you know that the little things that you do really can add up and will make a difference when you play them. So I think, the rivalry is really good for the sport, and again, I've been on this team a while, and it never gets old. It's always an exciting battle, and in the pre-Olympic tours, we do have an opportunity to see each other more often than in the non-Olympic years. And to be honest, it's gone back and forth. I mean, some years, I remember going into 98, we were dead even in games won and lost against them heading into Nagano. And we ended up on top. The next year we were, 8-0 against them, and, we ended up second. And then obviously in Vancouver, we didn't get a chance to, or in Torino, we didn't get a chance to see them. So as far as the record goes, it really doesn't matter. It matters who shows up in February. And I think we're just trying to build off of each game and learn something from each opportunity we play them.
If I could follow up, Megan Agosta is going to become one of the emerging stars on the Canadian team as a defenseman. What are the challenges in trying to stop her, and what does she bring to the table that makes that job difficult?
Yeah, she's obviously had a great career in college hockey so far. But on the national team, she's a fast forward. She's going to use her speed, go around you. She's going to, try to dangle you with her stick. And I think just, taking the body, making sure you're inside of the dots and you're, where obviously you're not trying to play any particular player differently. But I know when she has the puck, you're just aware of her speed and making sure that you have your angles on right. And you do all the little things so that you're not watching the puck. But yeah, she's a great forward for Team Canada, and I love playing against her and stopping her.
And one last question I guess. Yeah, I know you were involved with the Dreams for Women calendar. I just wondered what made that something you wanted to do, and how much did you enjoy putting your postcard together for the calendar?
Yeah, it was, I got an email about it, and it just seemed like a wonderful thing that that was organized by, just having a collection of women talk about their dreams and their inspirations, and, what a great opportunity to use the platform of the Olympics to do something like that. So I was more than thrilled to help out and hopefully inspire a lot of young girls out there.
Thanks very much.
Bob, Bob mentioned the U.S.-Canada rivalry. Of course, the last chance for fans in the U.S. to see that rivalry prior to the Olympics, I think you know, comes December 30th in St. Paul at the Xcel Energy Center. And if you could help us in getting the word out there and just letting fans know that they can get tickets ahead of time at questtour.com, we would certainly appreciate that. Lindsay?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Donna Spencer with the Canadian Press.
Hi, my question is for Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I think it's been maybe within the last 2 or 3 months, but one of the columnists with our national newspaper up here, the Globe and Mail, called women's hockey an Olympic make-work project. Does it frustrate you that in some quarters anyways, women's hockey in the Olympics still has to be justified?
To be perfectly honest, no. I think, women's hockey deserves the right to be in the Olympics. You have to give our sport time to grow, and I think if you look at the men's side of the game, it took many, many years for, parity to arise in the men's game. So I think our sport, obviously, there's a lot more men's teams that have the opportunity to play in the Olympics, and our sport is just budding. I've played with players that were on the first national team in back in 1990, and really that isn't that long of a time span for our sport. And as Coach Johnson talked about before, the college game will continue to develop the players, and so they're, you know, every sport has its counter for male and female, and so I definitely believe that our sport deserves that opportunity, and just, you know, you got to give it time to continue to grow, and anyone that actually watches our game, I think will see that that the level of intensity and skill is, it continues to rise every year.
I don't know if you remember back in Turin, I think Canada played Italy in its first game and beat them like 17-0, and the same day, you know, Don Cherry waded in and said, well, Canada shouldn't have beaten up on Italy that badly. I mean, I think, you know, I would expect probably maybe a lopsided score or two in the preliminary round in Vancouver. I look at a couple of your games, and you're certainly favored to beat a couple of those teams by a wide margin. But, I mean, does it bother you that in some ways you're meant to feel bad, you know, for beating a team badly?
No, you know what I would say to that is, you know, obviously with Italy, it's their first Olympic opportunity they were hosting. I think really the pressure should be put on the governing bodies of those federations to increase their support of their women's programs. I mean, there's absolutely no reason, you know, Russia shouldn't have an outstanding women's program. I think it's really more of a social issue, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, we're thankful for all the support we have from USA Hockey. I know Canada feels the same way. There are nations out there that are really going out and developing their women's programs, and you see that, you know, translate onto the ice. And I'd hope that, you know, some of these other teams that have great hockey nations will do the same, and you know, you can guarantee you'll see results.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Amy Rosewater with TeamUSA.org.
Thanks a lot. Angela, I wanted to ask you about taking you back to 98, not trying to make you feel older than everyone else has made you feel already, but how much more of a challenge is it to win a gold medal now, and how much more do you appreciate that gold medal from Nagano now that you know that it's not a given that you get one?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was 18. I was young. I was, you know, brash. I was excited. I was confident. You know, all the things you have in a younger athlete. And I didn't realize back then that it would, you know, take me 12 years to have another opportunity to get there. And you know, we battled hard in 02 and 06. And you know, who knows? Maybe I'm still around because I want to get back on top. I mean, I think it's natural for an athlete to experience that kind of high to want to get back up there. So we certainly have the team to do it right now, and the game has developed. It's you know, it's such an exciting game to watch now and to be a part of. So I'm just thankful to still have this opportunity to play with this team, and it really is a unique team that we have. So I think we have a great shot at getting back on top, and I'm sure I'll be bawling my eyes out if we actually get to the top.
A follow-up question: do you see yourself? Potentially, you kind of laughed about it, but do you see yourself potentially going for another time?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to end up doing. I want to focus right now on these games and then kind of reevaluate, you know, where I'm at in my life. And if one more comes around, I know Potter has, who's the other 98er with me, has certainly said she's going to keep training, so she can take the lead on that. But no, I'm trying to look into potential job opportunities after, and you know, I'll keep playing, and at that point reevaluate. But yeah, I'll take Jenny Pott. You can talk to her.
And one follow up for you and for Mark. Obviously, the struggles against Canada have come up in this call, but can you specify what, is there one particular problem that's been coming up with their facing their team lately? Is there something that's changed in your opinion, and what do you make of that?
No, it's competition, and so I think you know, in our camp, you know, as you go through your competition, you go through this exhibition schedule, you find a little bit more about players individually, depending on what situation you put them in. And so the whole thing is to trying to grow. And so, you know, whether you win a game or whether you lose a game, whether we're victorious up in Vancouver earlier in the year beating them, or else, you know, the last couple games in Denver and Calgary where they beat us, as a coaching staff, what we do well in those games, and obviously what didn't we do well, and then you wake up the next morning and work on the things that you need to do to improve, and that's the path you take, that's the journey, and so your attitude is probably the most important thing. Obviously, we're all competitive, we don't want to lose, but the process in developing a team is to try to become as strong as possible, play your best hockey at the right time, and give yourself an opportunity to win a championship. I think as Ange mentioned, it's tough to do this. It's tough to win championships. It's even tougher to win gold medals. And so the process isn't easy. The players have to understand that. And sometimes, when you lose or you lose multiple games to certain teams, it can create some confusion and can create some frustrations. But at the end of the day, you learn about yourself. And as a team, we'll continue to grow. As I told a few of the players, a couple days ago, I like where we're at. Part of the process to getting to the end is dealing with these frustrations. And certainly, we don't like to lose. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. I don't sleep well when we lose. And so I think in the big picture, it's like running a marathon. We're in the middle of it right now, and you can see a little bit at the end because we're only 50-some days from opening ceremonies, but, we still got work to do. And this last phase is going to be the most challenging, the most difficult, and the most demanding. But as you get yourself ready to get off the plane in Vancouver, we're going to be prepared and we're going to be ready to go.
If I may just one follow-up with that, you say you like where you're at. Is it almost like that you're hungrier now because it's not like you're cruising through these games? Do you think is that why you're saying that?
No, there's really about 25 of us that have been around this group since we started in late August, and so we've seen what's gone on every day. I've seen improvement. I've seen strides being made, and that's encouraging. If you watched this practice yesterday, it was good. It was a good competitive practice, and I think now that the elephant's out of the room, we've had to deal with it, and now we actually have an Olympic team. Prior to yesterday, we always had this little bit of a confusion in regards to who's going to make the team, who's not going to make the team. And I know back in 1980, it was a big hurdle to get over, because there were probably 8 or 10 guys in our locker room that thought they weren't going to make the team on particular days, and I'm sure that was going on within our locker room. In Denver and up in Calgary, I'm sure we had players that were extremely nervous. If they went on the ice and made a mistake, was Coach Johnson going to cut them the next day? Were they going to be the ones that weren't going to make the team? So, the mental side of this is now gone, and we can release that, and we have released that. And like I say, when we come back on the 26th, I think we're going to see a little bit extra jump in our stride, and obviously we're in a position where our players are going to be focused, and it's now our job to move forward and finally tune this machine. And I think, as Angela mentioned, and I saw it last year in Finland, it's a unique group. It really is a special group, and I think now that they can call themselves the Olympic team, we can certainly make the strides we need as we get ready for the last 50 days here.
Thanks, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Dan Hickling with U.S. College Hockey Online.
This is for anybody who would like to answer, and Michelle, maybe you can chime in on this. We're not that far removed from the fight to get women's hockey into the NCAA. Does it kind of boggle the mind now or take you back to think that this is now the fourth Olympics that you're competing for? Michelle?
Yeah, I think, it wasn't that long ago when I was in college. Unfortunately, it wasn't an NCAA sport, and, it's amazing to think how far it has come in such a short time. Angela touched on just the level of play and, looking at Jocelyn's age and where she came from and the opportunities that she now has and are different from the opportunities that Angela had and that I had. And it's inspiring to see that it's growing and that, every day there's more and more girls signing up to participate in this sport. And I think having the NCAA behind the collegiate hockey game is really important, and it feeds a lot of players into our system. And USA Hockey has stepped up when it wasn't an NCAA sport and offered a national championship to help it along. And even in the last 2 years, putting together a program in Blaine, 10 of the 21 players participated in this Blaine residency program that we put together. And I think that's just a testament to, different associations in NCAA and USA Hockey helping grow the sport.
Mark, would you have ever dreamed that women's hockey would be at where it's at today?
No, and that's, I look back and not only coach McCroom, I look at my dad and how excited he would have been to watch the development of women's hockey and watch all these young ladies get an opportunity to not only go to the rink and practice, but be part of this great sport that we certainly love. And so it's just really nice to watch all these young ladies, and now for these players to get an opportunity to fulfill dreams of whether they played in one or two or three, as Anne's going to play in her fourth. These kids get that opportunity to really fulfill a dream. And just to touch on one other issue, we talked about is it fair for women's to have ice hockey in the Olympics? And sometimes we lose the perspective of what the Olympics is all about. It's not whether you win or lose; it's about participating. And certainly, we may see or you have seen lopsided scores, but you have to understand that for these countries and those individuals to get to represent their countries is something that is unique, and I think is so special because they get to walk in on that opening ceremonies with their country's flag, and I'm sure it's a very emotional day for everybody, and certainly everybody prepares, everybody trains, everybody works hard to be competitive, but the most important thing about the Olympics is getting that opportunity to represent your country and participate for your country in something that is the biggest platform that sports provides us. And so I think sometimes with the financial implications as far as people getting rewarded for medals, and that type of thing, we sometimes lose the perspective. And so for these 21 players to get an opportunity not only to wear that USA jersey up in Vancouver, but to get to walk into opening ceremonies, get to participate in the closing ceremonies, I mean, that's, to me, something very, very special, and I sometimes think we lose sight of that.
Mark, I have two quickies for you. What's it going to be like for you and the four Badgers to go back to Wisconsin and play that bunch?
It's going to be goofy because I'm going to be in the visitor's locker room. I'm going to be on the wrong bench. But I know back in 1980, Herb took us down to Madison and played a game. And as a player, I had to go through the same thing down there. But, it's something nice. It's something neat. And I certainly think our players that have played at Wisconsin, it'll be a special evening for them, but more importantly, it gives people in Madison and our hockey community in Wisconsin an opportunity to see our Olympic team play, and obviously it's going to be an exciting night. It'll be an emotional night, and I'm anxious to watch it come to fruition down there. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun for our players. It'll actually be fun for me because I'll get to stay home one day. I've been at home too much this past 4 months, so it'll be fun.
The other is, when you look at this group of this final group of 21, and when you look at the names on that roster, is there one of these women that you just, coming into camp, you thought it's going to be tough for them, and here they are, they finally made it?
I'm not going to name names,
is there a success story? I mean, is there someone who just is a real success story in your eyes?
Well, I think they're all success stories. I mean, the first one, sitting right across from me is a success story because I think the hard part, and if people don't follow or watch women's hockey is, in the non-Olympic years, these athletes that are out of college last year with the residence programs gave these young ladies an opportunity to train and to compete and to tune up their skills as they prepared for the tryouts this year. And so, I look at Jenny Potter, two kids, obviously a family, and what she's done just amazes me. As I watched her when the first time I coached her, as we got ready to go up to Winnipeg for the world, she had just had her second child, and it's like I've got five kids. I watched what my wife went through after each baby was delivered. And I'm thinking, there's no way this young lady's going to be able to help us in Winnipeg. And boom, you know, 10 weeks later, she's on the ice, and we're doing conditioning drills up at Grand Forks as we're getting ready, and she's right out there doing them. I'm like, wow, this is special. And so I look at this whole roster, and I think each one of them individually had to make some huge sacrifices, some more than others, but I think all of them, you know, if you look at their preparation in the last 3 or 4 years, each one's got a unique story. And so you can start from the top and go right through all 21 of them and say, wow, you know, she had to do a lot of things to get herself in position, not only to try out, but eventually make this team.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joanne Barnes with Detroit Free Press.
Hi there. I came in just a couple minutes late. And Michelle, you addressed this a little bit about the Blaine residency. And Angela can chime in as well. About just, obviously, that's since the Torino games. Can you just sort of talk about that a little bit more and the difference that has made for the U.S. Women's program? And then also, is that will you guys keep that heading into the next Olympics in Russia?
Sure. I think looking forward first, you know, we are focused on Vancouver. To be honest, we haven't had a lot of conversation on the future. We're really day in and day out just focused on task on hand. And I think there's a lot of possibilities down the road after Vancouver, different avenues that we can go down and, you know, putting together a high-performance plan to be delivered and, you know, thought about and talked about and discussed with our executive committee at USA Hockey and the USOC. I do think that the Blaine program, the facilities that we have there, the support that we've had, the opportunity to schedule high-level games during that that year in Blaine has really helped the program and the girls develop. You know, and Angela can talk a little bit about this, but it's once you're out of the collegiate ranks, it's really difficult as a player. It's difficult financially, it's difficult athletically, it's difficult to find the competition, to find the teammates to play with. So USA Hockey, you know, we knew we wanted to put a program together. We looked at a couple different sites, and, you know, a lot of our players are from Minnesota, and there's 8 rinks at this facility, and Herb Brooks Center there where they can lift and work out, and it just made a lot of sense to go to Blaine, and I think it's been a huge success to have 10 of the 21 make it. I think is a true testament to that program.
Yeah, Angela?
Yeah, I would definitely echo what Michelle said. I mean, I never understood what the post-grad players were going through when I was in college. I never understood the sacrifices they were making day in and day out until I graduated and found myself in their shoes. And, you know, in years past, I know some of the players would go up to Canada and play in the Canadian League, but then you face a situation where, you know, you can't work and, you know, you're trying to struggle to, you know, find somewhere to live, and there's, you know, a whole host of complications. But when USA Hockey decided, you know, they were going to get behind our team and really prepare us for Vancouver, and then, excuse me, they announced the residency program, I think all of the post-grad players, you know, jumped at it because, you know, to be able to train, like Jocelyn said earlier, with the best players in the world, it's only going to make you better. And you can clearly see now that our Olympic roster with, you know, roughly half of the team in that program benefited greatly from having somewhere to play, somewhere to train, day in and day out, and it wasn't getting ready for a tournament. It was preparing the entire season. So, I thank USA Hockey, I thank the USOC. I think everyone really appreciates the support that we had last year and this year, and you know, it is a great facility to train at.
And I have just one quick question for Mark. If you can just talk about, in that hockey tournament in Vancouver, besides the U.S. and Canada, what, you know, which teams to really watch for?
Well, I think, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, Sweden and Finland have beat both the U.S. and Canada at different times throughout the years. And so, you know, they're doing the same thing we're doing right now. You know, they're competing in practices. They're playing exhibition games. They're trying to prepare their team to win medals. And so you look at each one of those countries, and they certainly have enough talent to make that happen. And so I think as you prepare your team individually, you know, you can't take anybody lightly. You take one game at a time. It's an old cliche, but you have to. You can't get ahead of yourself. Everybody's anticipating a USA-Canada final gold medal game. Well, you know, there are steps that you have to take individually, and each country has to do to get to that point. And so that's what we're looking at. That's how we're focusing. And certainly some of the other countries, I think, in the last probably 15 months to 2 years have started to grow their programs in a real positive way. And I think having the under-18 World Championships the last couple of years is going to help in the growth in some of those areas.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. I just want to jump in too and let people know that the teleconference is being recorded and will be available on USAHockey.com here within the next couple of hours. And also, when we're through, I think we have time for another question or two, but when we're through, if you have questions or needs, of course, Christy Jeffries is a primary contact for the women's national team, 719-538-1169 here in the office. If you have something immediate, she is traveling today. If you have some immediate need, feel free to call me here at 719-538-1171. And Lindsay, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Harry Thompson with USA Hockey Magazine.
Yeah, thanks. This question is for Angela. Ange, just to follow up on what Mark was just talking about, can you talk a little bit about what you took from Torino and that disappointing loss in the semis to Sweden, and what kind of message you, as one of the leaders of the team, will tell some of the younger gals as everybody looks toward a Canada-U.S. gold medal game, and what you'll do to make sure that they stay on the focus?
Yeah, obviously we didn't get the opportunity to play for a gold medal last Olympics, and that was tough for everyone. But I don't really have to say much. We lost to Finland, I remember, in the 08 Worlds and the crossover game. And I think it really jump-started our team in a sense. We had to beat Canada in the next two games in order to win those World Championships. And, we hadn't done that in years. So, our team has experienced losses to Finland, as Coach said earlier. You know, Sweden's beaten Canada. There's been some upsets recently. So I think we, as a whole, our mentality is just that. Let's take one game at a time. Obviously, Canada, we see them a lot more this season than any other international team, so they're more, fresh in our minds. And, it's a great rivalry, but we know we can't take anything for granted. And I think it's something that, you can talk about, but in the back of everyone's heads, we know. So it's it's not really something that I have to go out and say. It's something that I think everyone understands. Like, let's take one game at a time.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bob Duff with Windsor Star.
Hi, this is for Michelle and Angela. I'm working with the Hockey Hall of Fame on a book on pioneers of women's hockey, specifically goaltenders, and I just wanted to get your thoughts each on two of the early goalies who brought a lot of attention to women's hockey, Aaron Witten from your country and Manon Raume from Canada. What do you think, what they accomplished in the playing in men's leagues? What do you think it did to help the growth and attention to women's hockey and as a sport in general?
Michelle?
Well, I think there's quite a few goalies early on that stick out in my mind that were stumped, and Aaron was definitely one of them. Fortunate to be a teammate with Aaron. Played against her when I was at St. Lawrence and she was at UNH. She's a standout goalie and was always tough to play against and compete against. Even when you're her opponent or in practice on her team, she did a great job playing with in the Adirondacks and playing with some of the boys' leagues and has turned that into a career. She's a coach now UNH and has been a coach for us here at USA Hockey with our national team and our UA teams and has helped out with the goalies as well. And another name to throw at you would be Kelly Dyer. She's an early on goaltender for Team USA, was on some national teams, played at Northeastern, and made a career in hockey as well. She's an athlete rep and sells equipment and specialized in developing some female equipment early on that really helped our sport and our women's players. So I think we've got some outstanding goalies right now. I just that's such an important position, obviously, and we're lucky that we've got three great ones on our team right now.
Angela?
Yeah, I remember playing with Erin. Obviously, she's done a lot to help our game, and Menoriam as well. I actually skated with Menoriam last year as part of the Minnesota Whitecaps, and she's from Michigan, where I, you know, my family lives now, so I get to see her on occasion. And, you know, both those goalies and Kelly Dyer, as Michelle said, I remember playing against, and, you know, any time that, you know, the visibility they got playing in those men's league games were obviously great for the sport, but they also brought a lot to the women's game itself and just, you know, raising the bar and you know, challenging the shooters and forcing, you know, us players to get better at, you know, shooting the puck, really, because they were unstoppable back in the day. So, yeah, they've done, obviously, I had many role models that I looked up to when I joined the team, and I remember Erin in the locker room, and, you know, I wasn't a big fan of country. I remember she used to listen to that a lot, but besides that, I, you know, obviously looked to see what she was doing in the locker room and tried to follow suit.
Thank you.
Well, the U.S. Women's Olympic team can be followed on USAHockey.com, QuestTour.com, Facebook, Twitter, Quest All Access Podcasting, and, of course, the fan club at the National Sports Center. And you can connect all those together and find them all through USAHockey.com or QuestTour.com. Unfortunately, our time is up today. Our team is off to practice in preparation for the Olympic Games. We thank you for your participation today, and have a terrific holiday season. Again, any immediate needs, please feel free to contact us here in the office. Thanks very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.